Welcome back to the Extension Experience Podcast. I'm Dana Zook. I have recently gotten several calls regarding pink eye, the causes of pink eye, its management and effect on several cow herds in Western Oklahoma. So I thought it relevant to revisit a really excellent episode that I recorded in 2022 with Dr. Roslyn Biggs about pink eye. So I hope you enjoy this throwback episode. Hope you're doing well this summer, and we'll catch you next time. Welcome back to the Extension Experience Podcast. I'm Dana Zook. I am on the OSU Stillwater campus at the OSU College of Veterinary Medicine. I'm joined today by Dr. Roslyn Biggs, OSU Extension Beef Specialist and Director of Continuing Education at the Vet School. Roslyn, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Roslyn, first, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to OSU.
Oh, sure. Well, I've kind of returned to OSU is the way I feel. I am originally from Chickasha, Oklahoma. I was in mixed practice there. And the reason I say I've returned to OSU is I graduated high school from Chickasha. And then I came to OSU, majored in ag econ, and then came on to veterinary school as well. And then I went back to Chickasha. They tell you like to go make your mistakes somewhere else and then come back home. I didn't listen to that very well. But went to Chickasha, went back home to practices down there in Chickasha in Verdon, and was in mixed veterinary practice there. Then worked for the USDA for a little over a decade doing a variety of things for APHIS veterinary services, from international export to disease response. Lots of good experiences there. And then almost 3 years ago, I came back home to OSU to work for Extension and the College of Veterinary Medicine.
It's been 3 years?
Almost 3 years. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
In July, at the middle of July. Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
We're having so much fun.
Yes.
We're having so much fun. And we made it through a pandemic. So
right.
we've learned a lot. And
yes.
Still loving the job and trying to get some good work done.
That's awesome. Roslyn, as we head into the summer months when cattle producers can experience pink eye, give us a brief summary of, and we'll go into some of those details, but just a brief summary.
Sure. So we use the term pink eye to be kind of an all-encompassing catch-all term. Lots of times when we have any cow or calf or stock or whatnot with an eye issue.
Okay.
And so we want to be a little careful with that term because it can, there's lots of different causes for eye issues. But, you know, our primary one that we generally focus on when we use the word pink eye is infectious bovine keratoconjunctivitis. So a really long veterinary term.
Yes.
It's not necessarily clear, but that infectious part means it's got something that causes an infection, right? So generally thought to be Moraxella bovis.
Okay.
Is the primary agent on that, even though there is some relatively new research that's saying we may have some other components to it, another Moraxella that's contributing to it. But, you know, we can have a lot of different precipitating causes that may allow that bacteria to set up. And so we can talk about those a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a bacteria, right?
Generally,
and you mentioned that.
Generally a bacterial infection. Now,
okay.
Growing up, we use the word pink eye for a lot of different things. It could have been caused by an injury, or
right.
We are eating some rough hay, or
okay.
In rough pastures where we see things like grass ons get caught behind eyelids, et cetera, scratches to the eye, things like that that cause eye injuries. Usually when we use that term, that's that big long term again, that infectious bovine keratoconjunctivitis, that has an infectious component to it. Yeah.
Okay. So they have to have an injury for it to occur?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. You can have some kind of dysfunction or break in the eye, usually in the cornea,
okay.
Where it gets set up, those thin, sensitive kind of layers. And so we see that the most common first sign we're going to see, and actually it can sometimes be largely unnoticed, may just be a little bit of tearing of the eye, right?
And you see that all the time.
See it all the time, especially, you know, we are in Oklahoma where the wind comes sweeping down the plains. The, you know, we have a lot of environmental components that can make eyes water. And so we can see some tearing. We then see some inflammation of the tissues around the eye. And then as that infection can get set up, if it's truly an infectious process, not a traumatic process or something like that, we see many times the first thing producers may see is some discoloration of that eye, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of turning blue or getting a cloudiness to it. And then we can get as far extreme as seeing ulcers or a complete breakdown of the layers of that cornea, which is that top top layer of the eye or outermost layers of the eye. We get breakdown in those cellular layers. And those are pretty significant and severe.
So it's gone a long ways from there. To get to that, I remember seeing, it almost appears that the eye has like a point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You can even see on those ulcers, it may look like somebody took a little divot out of that outermost layer of the eye. Usually, again, we're going to see tearing. We may even see some swelling. We're going to see some redness surrounding that eye, or they're squinting, right? Mm-hmm. They're not wanting to keep that eye open and visual. And the challenging thing with a lot of these too is that it's going to cause a scar on that cornea, and so it can impair vision even lifelong, or if it gets so severe, it may require removal of that eye.
Okay.
Usually when we're talking about infectious bovine keratoconjunctivitis, this is going to be a herd issue, right? So it's not just a single animal in a population. We want to see a certain percentage of the animals to use that term that we think it's going to be infectious. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not just, you know, one cow out of a group of 100. It's multiple cows, usually in the 10 to 15% of animals being affected. Mm-hmm. We do usually see it in the summer. And there's contributing factors to that, right? Like we see higher incidence of insect populations.
Yeah, like vectors. Right.
For sure. And it's, you know, that bacteria that can cause an infectious problem has been found on flies. They can carry it from one animal to another. And then we have other things in the summer. We've got the heat. Mm-hmm. We've got the sun. Those things, we can have dust and wind and all of the good things we see, you know, in my favorite place to be, which is, other than Stillwater, Western Oklahoma.
Right. So. Absolutely. So it's anything kind of like, you know, all these things that cause humans to have allergies, they can cause cattle to have some reactions to that too.
We can see those, kind of precipitating traumatic type things. And once we break that layer of the eye, then we can see that infection set up and in fairly, the other component to eye injuries, you know, I will say this as a veterinarian across multiple species, is issues with the eye need to be seen quickly.
Okay.
That is not something to wait around another 24 to 48 hours and hope it gets better, because they can turn worse in very, very short order and risk losing the eye, the globe or the eyeball itself. Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I was going to ask you. So it progresses very quickly after you're seeing.
It can. If you're not seeing, you know, we're not getting any treatment, taking care of that. And that's easy to that's easy to occur, especially if you're, you know, like my family, where you're sometimes not seeing your animals in the light of day.
Of course.
And so those are things we want to pay attention to, some of those early signs that may suggest we need to take a closer look at it, no pun intended.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talk about a lot about flies with producers this time of year. So is it just face flies, or are we talking horn flies and stable flies too? Are there all of them causing the spread, or
all of anything that's going to cause that irritation and trauma has the potential to do that. The other thing we want to be careful about is, again, as I previously mentioned, what are they eating? How is it, you know, are we going to have things like, I had one producer in practice that had a lot of eye issues. Well, when we went to investigating it, he was feeding some really rough hay. Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of grass on and things behind the third eyelid that sits there and then just scratches across the front of that eye and then sets up not only trauma, but gets it set up to go for infection as well.
Yeah. So any round bale feeding, which is happening right now because of the short grasses and native grasses that get tall at the end of the year. I think about that, you know, at the end of the summer and anything like that. But yeah, like the awns of wheat hay, I say, I mean, that's just, that's a big deal, especially even mouth issues, right? We can have mouth issues with cows too. What about breeds of certain cattle? Are they more prone to pink eye than others?
Usually our cattle with white faces, so white pigmentation or pink pigmentation around the eyes are traditionally thought of, they're going to be more predisposed to pink eye, but that doesn't mean that black-hided cattle, for instance, are immune to it.
Right.
We can see it in all types of cattle.
And the white coloring is because of they are more affected because of the UV.
Historically
rays, right?
Thought of on the UV, UV issues with light pigmentation.
Okay. All right. What about immunity? So once an animal has pink eye, we've covered, maybe got them to the vet in time, do they have immunity for a little bit of it?
About pink eye is we're still don't know everything about it too. I maybe should have led with that particular comment, right? But there's, you know, there's ongoing research. Typically we don't see pink eye issues in a herd year after year after year, so there can potentially be an immune component to it. I personally am not a huge fan of giving pink eye vaccines, for instance, because I don't think they're terribly effective and cost effective in most instances. Now, I do think in the situation where if you're having an outbreak of pink eye, that may be something you want to discuss with your veterinarian is that something we want to bring on board? But generally vaccinating for pink eye, just to vaccinate for it, not something that's usually on my list. It needs to be an individual operation consideration with the historic.
You've had problems with it.
We've had problems with it, absolutely.
And I've seen out in the country, like certain producers have like these strange pink eye vaccines. They're kind of like a certain mix or something that's coming from someone who can't speak the language. But are those vaccines specific to that area, maybe?
In a variety of situations, we can have autogenous type vaccines that are kind of customized vaccines to that. The thing we want to be cautious on those is we want to get some diagnostics, veterinary involvement, and making sure that we're not wasting our money on those kind of vaccines. And usually that's going to be in a situation where a producer has had a problem in the past, right? And so, and that seemed to be effective. I want to be cautious of saying pink eye vaccines don't do their job. They need to be used in certain situations.
Right.
They can make a difference. So,
well, very well explained. I've always wondered about that because you see a lot of different ones out there. We have this, let's think of this example. We have this producer is starting to see an outbreak, maybe has some that have gotten severe. What should this producer do? Like, what should be his or her form of action as they move forward?
Right. So, you know, the thing we want to do is we want to treat those animals that are affected. We may want to, there's a variety of medication options based on what's going on in that specific eye. And so that may be in the involvement of antibiotics. We may want anti-inflammatories on board, because keep in mind, anything with the eye is generally very painful too. That's why they squint. That's why they blink. They're light averse. They don't, you know, they don't like being in that. They don't get to wear sunglasses, right? And
right.
So we see those kind of things. So again, antibiotics may be a first choice. We may also, again, want anti-inflammatories. We may want some coverage of that eye. A patch is not uncommon that we would see those. We don't generally, like in horses with eye issues, we might use a fly mask, right?
Right.
We don't usually do that in cattle, but it's the same kind of effect. And then as we see, you know, if it's one animal and out, that's probably some other situation going on than a highly infectious process.
Okay.
They've either had a trauma to that eye. We can also have certain types of cancers and things that can go on in eyes that can have very similar presenting kind of early signs that we want to take a look at that. But those are our general scope of treatment. And then we want to step back too and take a look, do we have things going on in that particular pasture, in that particular herd, that may be putting us at higher risk? And it's interesting, again, I mentioned previously, we don't have all the answers on pink eye, right? It seems to be we'll have a problem 1 year and then next year we don't have anything. We may rock along for a couple of years and then we have another issue. So staying on top of it and, also visiting with your veterinarian, because I think we see these trending, this is just anecdotal, but geographically in certain areas. And so it's helpful to know if some of your fellow producers are experiencing similar problems, what things have been in your veterinarian's hands, what has been effective approaches to controlling it.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. I think also that it should be a veterinarian treated sort of thing, that maybe we probably are not going to solve it on the farm or ranch if it's an outbreak type of situation.
Definitely need to have a consultation on how we want to approach it. Now, if we've had a problem in the past, hopefully we already have kind of a written treatment plan, and that may be in fact easier. But with our ongoing focus on responsible antibiotic uses and responsible drug use overall, we definitely want to have some discussions happening and not just throw a dose of antibiotics at it and hope it gets better.
Right. Very good. That was a great summary, Rosalind. Thank you so much. Hopefully this episode gives producers an inside look into what causes pink eye and how to treat it, potentially maybe preventing it this season. Listeners, if you would like more information about pink eye, visit our show notes. All the information we discussed today will be there. Alternatively, I'd like to say visiting with your consulting veterinarian is your greatest asset in preventing and treating diseases such as this. We always encourage you to seek out a local vet for this and other common health issues. So thank you for joining us today and have a great week.